Manager, sir.
Brian McClellan, sir.
Mr. McClellan, who has him? Give me one moment. Okay, the Honorable Mr. Johnson will conduct your hearing at this time. He will be the lead, sir, so just hold on.
Sir, could you please state your name and your ADC number for us for the record?
Yes, sir. It's Brian Kent McClellan, and my ADC number is 143-848.
Okay, so you're here because the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce...
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you, sir. Could you say it one more time, please?
You're a member of the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce the board members to you that will be conducting your hearing. You have the Honorable Luis Quinones, the Honorable David Mill, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair, the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. My name is Michael Johnson, and I'll be acting as your lead for your hearing this afternoon, sir. Also, with us today, representing the Department of Corrections, as well as your parole officer, is Mr. Westby.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Sir, by your hearing today, you received a signed notification form advising you of this board's hearing today. Do you recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
Are you talking about the form that I signed for the hearing?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, I do recall that.
Okay, sir. On that form, it also notified you of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney to represent yourself today, sir?
No, I did not.
Okay. You representing yourself today, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you. Sir, at this time, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Westby in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, sir, I do.
I do. Sir, you have... Your hearing will be conducted in two phases. And phase one will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. And phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out in phase one, sir. You have one allegation listed on your warrant. I'm going to read that allegation to you. When I read that allegation to you, sir, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. The allegation under the warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 2, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to establish residence at Changes 1344 South Mesa Drive in Mesa, Arizona on September 29, 2017, as verbally written directed on September 29, 2017. The victim's whereabouts are unknown, thus he's no longer from supervision. Sir, is that true or false?
Sir?
Yes, sir.
Is that the address for Changes? Because I'm not familiar with the address. Is that for the halfway house Changes?
Yes, sir. That's Changes address.
Okay, yes, sir. That is true.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, based on the admission of Mr. McCullough, I move to find that he was delinquent as he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have lapses about the lapses into criminal ways or are coming.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself. Second by Ms. Rittenhouse. Agreed, Mr. Quinones. Agreed, Mr. Neal. Agreed, Dr. Wright. So we're going to go into phase two of your hearing. During phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your supervision. We're going to start out phase two with getting some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Westby. Then I'm going to go over some information with you. Then we'll give you the opportunity, sir, to present any information that you'd like to present to the board, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, Mr. Westby.
On September 29, 2017, Mr. McClellan was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested May 2, 2018 by Tempe PD on a new misdemeanor charge of criminal trespass, third degree, and old warrants. He was back in DOC custody on May 2, 2018 with an adjusted community supervision end date of April 1, 2019, which reflects 215 abscond days. Current convictions, 2013, aggravated DUI, 2 counts, each for 5 years. 2013, flight from law vehicle, 1.5 years. He has prior convictions in 1999, dangerous drug violation, 1 year. 1999, forgery, 6 months. 1999, drug paraphernalia, 6 months. 2004, dangerous drug violation, 1 year. 2006, dangerous drug violation, 2 years. 2006, marijuana violation, 1.5 years. This is his fourth term in DOC. CUIR score 3.3, mental health score 3, substance abuse score 3. STG gang information notes, he's an admitted Pepperwood. Prior term of supervision, 1999, TIS release completion, 5 months. 2004, TIS release, arrested on tech violation, reached CSED. 2009, TIS release absconder, 71 days, revoked by the BOEC. His disciplinary violations are moderate, with drugs noted. Other arrest, 1993, marijuana violation, Arizona, misdemeanor conviction, probation. 1996, dangerous drug violation, Arizona, disposition unknown. 1997, dangerous drug violation, Arizona, disposition unknown. 2005, DUI, Arizona, misdemeanor conviction, probation. His community risk score is a G6V7.
Okay, Mr. McCullen, I see that you were released on September 29th of 2017. At the time that you were released, you were to reside in Changes of 1344 South Mesa Drive in Mesa, Arizona. Your parole officer called and spoke with Mr. Mike McClain there, and they advised that you had not reported or established residence there. Why didn't you go check in there at Changes, sir?
When I left my parole officer's office, I was allowed to go and have dinner with my mother. She said, which my parole officer had no problem with, as long as I had reported to the Changes by 6 o'clock. I called the Changes around, say, I believe 4 or 4:30 to let them know that I was on my way, and that would be so that they were aware of me showing up. And then they, at which time they had asked me if I had the money to enter, and I did not have any money. I have been down for 4.5 years. I have no money. And I said, but my parole officer is wanting me to show up at your office. I wasn't under the impression that I had any money. He said, well, you signed the box that says you have the money. If you don't have the money, you can't come in. And so I didn't, at that time it was too late to call my probation officer. And I like I said, I had been locked up for 4.5 years. I had no idea what to do at that point. It was already past time for the parole office to be open. The Changes wasn't going to let me in without the money, which I had none of. And I had no idea what to do at that time.
So why didn't you contact the parole office on the next available day, sir?
I ended up in the hospital the very next week, Your Honor, with an infection in my finger, and I had surgery done on it.
Okay.
I was at St. Luke's Hospital, and I got a verification where I can get paperwork for that from the hospital, I'm sure.
Okay, so you
I even called my parole officer later that next week and told them that I had been in the hospital all week, and she said that a warrant had already been signed for my arrest at that point.
She didn't ask you to come in or anything, sir?
I believe she might have, but she said there was a warrant for signing for my arrest. I was scared at that point in time. I didn't know what to do, sir. I've been incarcerated for 4.5 years. I had no idea what to do at that point. I know that not reporting is definitely the wrong thing to have done, but I didn't know what else to do at that point. I was scared, Your Honor, and that's all I can say at that point.
So you were in Tijuana for 215 days. What were you doing in that period of time?
I'm sorry?
You were in Tijuana for 215 days. What were you doing during that time?
I was pretty much living on the street at the time, sir.
Okay.
Not very happily, by my dad.
So when you were arrested by Tempe police for the trespassing, What was going on? How did that happen? What occurred there?
I believe that trespassing charge was an old charge that I had from 2013, I believe.
Well,
is it not in Old Warren?
It didn't say, it just said that he was arrested for trespassing and some old warrants. It was an old warrant?
No, there was a new trespassing charge and three old warrants.
Yeah, new trespassing charge and three old warrants. So what were you doing when you committed the Tempe Police Department contacted you?
Oh, I was coming out of the Motel 6 parking lot, so they must have got me, because I got me in a residence at the Motel 6, they must have got me for trespassing on that.
Okay.
I was under the belief that was an old charge, but they must have gotten me for being on the Motel 6 parking lot.
And so
that I was coming out of, so that must be the trespassing charge at that time.
What were the old warrants for?
I believe it was an accident that I never showed up for. It was a ticket for an accident. I should have brought the paperwork. I had the paperwork back at my mom, but I don't have it in front of me right now. It was an accident that I had never showed up for court for, which, because I was incarcerated, is the reason why.
Okay, let me just check.
Those were all misdemeanor charges, though.
Okay.
That's why they never took me to court on them.
Okay, Mr. Wesley, is there anybody in the notes that Mr. McCartney ever contacted or had contact with his bill once he got out?
No, I was reviewing the notes on that. I see that the warrant wasn't issued until, a week. It was on the 10th when the warrant was issued, so they gave him ample time to come into the office. There was no notes that there was any contact, and that she did P.O. Gordina's attempt to locate or contact his emergency contact, his mother, Susan McClellan, plus on October 18th, Parole Supervisor Oliveri mailed absconder reduction program letters to his mother's residence, along with some residents in Tempe and also in Kansas City, Missouri, informing him that if he comes in, the warrant would be quashed.
Okay, so it looks like, sir, you said that when you got out, you went into St. Luke's Hospital, you were there for a week, but the warrant that they had wasn't issued until October 10th. They didn't issue a warrant until October 10th. And then October 18th, they sent letters to your mom's house and Tempe, as well as in Kansas, notifying you of the reduction to come in. So did you get any of those?
No, I was never notified at all, other than one time that I contacted her from the hospital, and she had told me that the warrant had already been issued, and that was well before the 10th.
Well, the warrant wasn't issued according to the parole officer. The warrant wasn't issued until the 10th, sir, so I'm not...
At the bottom.
That's I'm not sure. Yeah, it's on the warrant that was issued on the 10th.
Okay, after talking to her, I was under the impression that it was well before that.
No, nothing, sir. So let me see if the board has any additional questions for you, sir. Seeing the board has no additional questions. Mr. McCartney, the board is about to go into a discussion as we come upon the conclusion of the hearing. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board without repeating yourself prior to the board going on into discussion?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that, sir. I'm sorry.
No problem. Sir, the board is going into, we're coming up on the conclusion of the hearing. The board is going to go into a discussion. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board prior to the board going into discussion without repeating yourself?
Yes, Your Honor. I think given the right circumstances, I believe I could be a very productive person in society now. I mean, I've been here for quite a long time. I've had no history of write-ups here. I've been working in the kitchen as long as I've been here. And even before I got paroled the last time, I was working, I kept a steady job here with no interactions whatsoever. So I think given the right circumstances and situation, I would be very productive out there in society now.
Okay, thank you, sir. The board is going to discussion. While we're in discussion, sir, I'm going to ask you to remain on the line. However, I need you to remain silent while you're on the line, but you can hear the discussion taking place amongst the board. We will make a decision whether to revoke or reinstate you under community supervision during the discussion, and then we'll get back to you with the board's decision, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Please remain on the line, sir. the board is now into discussion. Mr. McCullen, as you heard, stated that when he was released, he went to dinner with his mom, and then after having dinner with his mom, he was on the way to Changes, said that he called there, and they told him that he had to have some finances in order to be admitted into Changes, said that he didn't have any money, so he just didn't go, and he didn't contact his PO because he felt that it was too late, and about a week later, he had to have some surgery on his hands, and on his hand, finger, when he went into St. Luke's Hospital and had that done, said that he contacted his PO. The PO said that a warrant was issued, however, there's no indication that he had talked to the PO and that the warrant wasn't issued until October 10th for him of his arrest. And then on October 18th, they did try to contact his mother, his emergency contact, which was his mother. And they also sent letters to Tempe as well as Kansas trying to notify him of the reduction program. And Mr. McKellen said that he didn't get any of those, but his PO was definitely trying to reach out and assist him. He was an absconder for 215 days, which is an extremely long time for him to be out and not contact his PO. And it's very hard to just overlook the 215 days of him being an absconder, especially when he knows the importance of maintaining a relationship with his PO, because in 04 he had a technical violation, and 09 he was absconded for 71 days, and I'm sure he knows the importance of having to contact his PO. So based on that information, I don't think that Mr. McCullough would be, I'm not in support of reinstating his community supervision. I think that he should just go ahead and complete his time, and when he gets out, he won't be on any parole or community supervision. I'm going to listen to my colleagues, not any other comments. I'm then going to move to revoke the community supervision. And Mr. McCullen find that it was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of the supervision, and had lapses of the lapses in the criminal way of the company, as he was no stronger for 215 days, and we have no idea of exactly what he was doing during that period of time. That will be my motion.
Second.
Agreed. Agreed.
Motion by myself. Second by Ms. Rittenhouse. Agreed, Dr. Wright. Agreed, Mr. Hill. Agreed, Mr. Quinones. Mr. McCullough?
Yes, sir.
So the board is going to revoke your community supervision. You will be released on April 1st of 2019, sir. At that time, you won't be on any community supervision. You will have to report to your parole officer, sir. You'll be able to move about and be free. And hopefully from that point in time on, sir, you'll be a productive citizen and not have any negative contacts with law enforcement. I want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity for being here for this board. That is going to conclude the interview at this time, sir. Please put your CO2 on the line.
Mayor?
Yes.
From the 29th to the day that the warrant was signed, do I get credit for those days?
You should, sir, but you would have to check with your, you should, but we don't do the time comp. You'd have to check with your CO3 and time comp to make sure exactly what you have. I don't want to give you any wrong information, sir. We don't do the time comp. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Put the CO3 on the line, please.
All right.